Just go ahead and release that. Lord, just bless them. Thank you, worship team. I'm not sure if this is mine, but I'm going to go for it. I'll claim Mark 16. Is that yours, Tyler? There's mine. Usually I don't, especially don't drink after other men, but I guess it's something supernatural today, Tyler. Amen.
Hey, I'm proud of my praise team.
Amen. Yes, yes. So blessed. We're so blessed. Worship team, I want you to especially pay attention to the message this morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. Because what I'm talking about this morning is what you are attempting to do with the worship team. And I just want to encourage you in that. So y'all really, really pay attention to the word this morning. It's extremely applicable to you guys. I want to, I don't usually run out there and promote or recommend something, but I want to, and is Errol in nursery with our, there's Errol. If you will put tomorrow when you send out the email to the church, put a link to this on the email that you send out. If you have, or make opportunity, not if you have, make opportunity to go to listen to the Wilderness Society teaching from this past week. I think it was a week ago Tuesday from Hope Chapel. And I want to encourage everybody to go to that and listen to that teaching. It was some stuff that was originated from a word from Dutch Sheets. And then Damon has just gone on and God's amplified it through him. And it's about 2 hours of teaching. I'll go ahead and tell you. Say, Brother Sid, I don't have to. You know what I do on my phone is I'll start something like that, and 15 minutes to work, I'll listen to it, and then I'll hit pause. And then when I'm driving to lunch, the 10 or 15 minute loop, I'll hit. You know, don't think you've got to have. And I'll do that about three times all the way through, and then I'll start getting, it'll start sinking in. So you don't say, man, I just ain't got 2 hours to sit down and listen to something like that. You'd be blessed if you would do something like that. But hit it as you can, and God will download a lot of stuff into you. So I really want to encourage you and challenge you to listen to that. Some very profound teaching on King Solomon and David. It is talking about King Solomon and his the Wonder Kingdom, and how David fought external foes or enemies, and Solomon fought internal foes or enemies. And he's talking about dealing with four different things, and it's just very, very powerful. So I want to challenge you, encourage you to listen to that. Damon Thompson Ministries, and it is the Wilderness Society teaching from March. So, and Errol put a link on that email that she sends out tomorrow. So I just want to encourage you in that. Did I ask y'all to turn to 2 Kings 4? 2 Kings 4, all right. This is, I feel like, as God's beginning to pull some scales off of my eyes and show me some things, that this is what He's doing in my life right now, is where we are in this. You know, we look and we're like, I don't know about you guys, but I try to have an extremely personal relationship with God, to where I come in and it's a dialogue that goes on, and I'll just ask Him, Brandon, I'll be like, God, what are you doing right now? Not as a frustrating thing, but show me what you're doing in my life. Because I see this going on and this going on, and I know how this makes me feel, and I know how that makes me feel, and I know how this encourages me, and I know how this hurts me, and these different things like that. And I ask God, I say, God, what are you doing in this? And if we will inquire of the Lord and seek the Lord in things, the deeper we get in relationship, He'll respond and communicate with us. He'll talk back to you, and He'll begin to show you and declare things. And God's been giving me some clarity, some stuff that He's doing in my life right now. And this is kind of the process that I'm in. And I find it quite encouraging, I'll be honest with you. It's not always fun and easy, but it's quite encouraging. This scripture that we're in is the story of Elisha, the prophet, to Israel. And he's dealing with the Shunammite woman. We're talking about, I put in quotation marks, building a place for God. Now, if you've been around this house for a few years, I'm sure you've heard me preach or teach on hosting the presence, you know, in coming in, and instead of a habitation or a visitation, creating a habitation. Y'all heard me talk about that? You probably heard Brett and Jeremy talk about visitation versus habitation and the whole story in this, and talking about the Shunammite woman and Elisha coming through and her saying, man, it's cool that he's coming, and let's prepare him meals when he comes through, and he will always host him when he comes through. But then she takes it a step further and said, we want to prepare a place where he can stay with us. And we talk about the habitation is superior to visitation and all of that. And the as I began, and I just a while ago I said I'm kind of in Lori, building mode for Lori. She had this vision of an outdoor play area, fort, you know, all of the combination of all of the above in the backyard back there up in the amongst the pine trees and everything. And she said, this is what I want to build for the grandkids and all of that. So we've started in earnest the last week or so. And, man, I started to call you yesterday and said, you want to come work at the farm all day? I wish I had him. I really do. I'd have put you up in a tree with a hammer and a you know, an impact drill and all that stuff. I really wish I had it where we could just spend a day working on something together. But I apologize for that, because I had a prompt from the Lord to do that. And I'm like, man, I'm free labor and getting a guy coming out. That just kind of, I don't know, Jeremy, it just didn't seem cool. But God was like, I tried. You know, that would have been a God thing. So I apologize for that, Brandon. But I've been in building mode on this and everything. And the Lord is teaching me through this some stuff. The thing about this building project that I'm in right now is that it is purpose-specific. I am building something that is purpose-specific. It has no purpose whatsoever other than providing a place for my grandchildren and whatever kids come to our place when we have an event or something for them to play on. That's the sole purpose of it. It will serve no other purpose. I'm not going to, you know, come in and put lounge chairs up in one of the high places so we can see a pretty sunset. Me and Lori hang out. We may crawl up a rope ladder and do that occasionally, but that's not the design and purpose of this thing. It is purpose-specific. And God began to draw a contrast in my life about the way that I deal with my relationship with Him or provide access with Him in contrast to this and another room that I have in my house. I have an office in my house. I've got very loose quotation marks around office in my house. You know what it is? It's a catch-all. Chris, you walk in and you're waiting, literally you're waiting through. There's no way you can sit at a desk and do any work. You name it, it's in there. Kids' toys, decorations. We're going from one thing to another. I don't know where we're going to put this and all that. So if you know where it winds up, in the office. I got fly fishing stuff in there. I got hunting stuff in there. I got books in there. I've got my mail goes in there before I go through it and properly file it. It stacks. There's a pile that thick that's stacked in there when you go in on the left. Over 6 magazines and 4 books that I'm currently reading right now. Can anybody relate? You know how many times I have cleaned my office? Multiple times. I have. I said, doggone it, I'm tired of this. And I'll fuss to Lord. And of course, I got skull mounts everywhere too. You can't sit there when you got three, you know, skull mounts on your, what's supposed to be your desk. I don't have anywhere else to put them. So I said, I'll put them in a party barn one day when we build our party barn. You know, exponentially out in the future. So it catches everything. And I'll go in and I'll clean this thing out for the purpose of reclaiming it as my office. And it's not a week it goes past. And you know what happens? Piles back up. And as I was working on this purpose-specific area for kids at my house, God spoke and asked him, and he said, which one is going to be better served? And I said, this purpose-specific area. Because I'll be honest with you. My office, the door gets closed, stuff gets thrown in, you know, and it's one of those where almost like that. I got some nice deer mounts in there, man. But I'm embarrassed to show them to anybody. Because I don't want to open the office and be like, good Lord! Well, nobody in there, you come in and you see the ones in the foyer and all that, you ain't going to see them in there because it's... And God said, that's the way your life with me is. You've got this office that's our place. Your life that's our place. And really what got me going on this is the teaching that Dutch, it's a cumulative things, the teaching that Dutch was doing was talking about sweeping out the four corners and a prophetic word sweeping out the four corners. Very profound and all of that. But we also then we go in and we look in the scripture and it talks about a house being swept and garnished but nothing being really put in, not specific, purpose specific in this place. And so what we do with our life is we create a place for God, but we don't create a purpose-specific place for God. Because you'll do good on your spiritual life, and you know what you'll do? You'll carve out this corner, and you'll say, this is God's. And I'm going to do this for the Lord, and this is going to be my time, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And inevitably, life always creeps back in. Can I get a witness with anybody today? You know, what's the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? And God said, your office is your life. And He said, I want your life to become this playground area out here. It's got a pirate flag flying over it, and that's your banner. That's what I want your white life to look like. You know what won't happen out there? Stuff won't get stored out there. You know why? Because it's exposed to the elements. Come on, let that run with you in your spirit, man. Stuff won't get stored out there because it's exposed to the elements. I want my life to be so exposed to His presence, to be so exposed to intimacy with Him, that nothing else there comes into that place because it's exposed to too much stuff. Common stuff can't exist there because it's a place that's built and set aside just for specific. One thing I found about this thing too is we come in and we begin to think about building specific is that it will inevitably expand. I'm planning on doing, if God doesn't change, I'm planning on doing some teaching Wednesday night on favor. And I believe favor is a gift from God. But I also believe that continued favor and more outpouring of favor is conditional on stewardship. And if we will come in and we will be specific in building this, in specific in creating this place, in specific and purpose-minded in this, it will inevitably expand and grow. Till hopefully God's ultimate design is until it consumes our entire life. Amen? All right, let's look in this text and let's pull out a couple things. All right, let's start in verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned them thither to eat bread. Now, the thing about Elisha, he was the prophet to the nation of Israel. And if you kind of have in your mind like the old circuit rider preachers, and they would go around, and I remember when me and Lori first started dating, and she grew up in a real small Methodist church, and what some of the smaller churches and some of the Baptist churches would do this. The old foot-washing, primitive Baptist church, foot-washing Baptist churches that my family originated in and Randy's family originated and still in, I think so. And what they would do was they would have services like once a month or twice a month, and you would have one preacher, and he would go around to this circuit of these four different churches that he had. And he would preach it this one week, and this one week, and this one week, and this one week, and then you'd get in this loop. Well, this is what's going on with Elisha, is Elisha would go around to these different places, to Bethel and all of these different places, and he would come, and he would offer sacrifices, and he would do the priestly functions, and meet with the elders, and all of this stuff in these places. And so he would pass through Shunem on a consistent basis. And there's this woman, it said that she was a great woman. I don't know that she was rich, but she was great in the fact that she recognized God on this man's life. She recognized that he was a servant of the Most High. And so that she saw this, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So she says, come on in, and when you come through, man, I want you to over for dinner. We're going to feed you, we're going to, you know, we'll do the things to refresh you as you're making this circuit. And so he stops by and he began to do a practice of this. And so in verse 9 it says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. She said, Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there." So I want to stop there without getting into the whole child and Gehazi and all of this stuff. But she came in, and this is where we preach the sermon, habitation versus visitation. But I think we stop short of the ultimate expression of this, because what we do is we create an office space for God. In reading this text, I've always, in the King James language, I've always thought, man, that's nice. She carved out a little enclave in her house over against the wall and all of this stuff. She put a bed and a lampstand and maybe a curtain or something and all of that. And that was a place where he could hang out when he came. You look at the other translations, and what I really like about this, it said that she came in and she built him a room on the roof. She actually went up to the roof of the house, and there she built a room. Now, I love the spiritualization of that. She built him a place in a elevated position. She just didn't say, come on, let's go over here, where when he's not there, it's going to collect stuff, like my office. She built a purpose-specific place for God's presence, God's man, to abide there when he came through. She built it on the roof. That's an elevated place. She built it in a place that's actually a preferred place. Even in Middle Eastern culture today, you know where the cool place is in the evening? Roof. You know where the men go in the cool of the evening? To the roof. I know we're all modern now and we got AC and all of that stuff. I'm talking about outside of that. You know where the preferred place was? The roof. That's where they would sleep at night, because it was cooler. It would catch the breezes. So as I begin to dig in this and look at the different Hebrew translations of this, she just didn't say, oh, I'm going to give him just a little corner of my house, a corner of my life, an office, if you will, because we all know what happens to that. It gets cluttered. But when she came in and she said, I'm going to be purpose specific, and not only am I going to be purpose specific, but I'm going to go to a preferred place, I'm going to go to an elevated place, and I'm going to build something that is going to be for this man of God where he comes in, because this is a place that is not only going to minister to him, but it's ultimately going to minister to me. We come in, and if we had time and we followed this story, he comes in and he says, he goes to his servant Gehazi, he said, man, I'd like to, this woman has shown me great kindness. What can I do for her? Does she need favor with the king? Does she need favor with the magistrates around and all of that stuff? Because I'll go to them because I got favor with these cats. And she said, no, I'm good, man. My family takes care of me. I'm really good. And then Gehazi came to her and he said, hey, man, she doesn't have any kids. She does not have a child. And her husband's getting old. And so Elisha came to her and he said, you've shown me great kindness, so here's what I'm going to do. He said, this time next year, you're going to be holding a child. And she said, man, don't mess with me. Have y'all ever said that to God? You feel like there's a word that's stirred up on the inside of you? I want to tell you something, guys. There ain't no way in the hell that's a devil putting that in you. There'll be something, a word, a kingdom word will stir in us. And we'll be like, get thee behind me, Satan. You really think that the devil's going to deposit kingdom stuff in you? Number one, he doesn't have the legal right. Number two, he doesn't have the heart behind him to do that. She comes in, she said, man, don't mess with me. He said, I ain't messing with you. He said, you're going to have a child by this time next year. You're going to hold a son in your lap. Sure enough, man, he leaves. Boom, she gets pregnant like next month. A year rolls around, comes back. She's holding this child. She's got a son. A few years roll on, and I'm really going through this real fast. A few years roll on. The son has a brain aneurysm and collapses in the field and dies. You know what the mom does? She said, bring him in quick. Scoop him up. Where do they put him? In the upper room in the elevated place on the prophet's bed. She said, I know a place where this thing originated, and this thing that originated in that place will not allow it to die. The problem we come in, man, is we have these encounters with God, and we have these deposits from God, and we have this release from God, and we have this kingdom stuff in our life, and it seeming dies before our eyes, and we don't have a place to carry it back to because all we've got is an office full of clutter. But if we have an elevated place, if we have a preferred place, that is the habitation, the visitation, the dwelling of Almighty God, we've got a place to run to, Brandon, where our flag is still flying. Our flag, mine and his flag, my beloved status is still there. Doesn't matter what we go through, the beloved status is still there. Good circumstances, I've been on top of the world with her, beloved status. I've been in the what seems like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're getting drugged through this. You know, it's like the enemy didn't just throw us in the briar patch, he drug us through the briar patch, anybody relate? And it wasn't little briars, it was saw briars. You know what a saw briar is? Like, oh my gosh. But the thing is, the whole time that's happening, the beloved status is still there. And she had this place that she could go back to with her son and carry her son and put him on the bed, and she laid him there and she said, now I'm going to go get the prophet. She had a place. And the problem with our lives that God showed me about my life, Terry, is my life with him way too often looks like my office. You've been in there. It's scary. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Everything else looks cool. And you walk in here and it's like, whoa. And that's what our life with him, well-intentioned. I never meant that to be a junk room. My mule deer head wouldn't be hanging in there if it was intended to be a junk room. That's a good mule deer. I want folks to see it. Right? We never intend for our life to him to get cluttered. And we'll label it and we'll say, this is my place with him. And this is my office with him. And we'll put our quotation, we'll even put a sign on it. But it becomes everything but. How many of y'all would have a better life with the Lord, but life gets in the way? I bet a while ago when I threw out there and said, man, I don't need to listen to this teaching, it's phenomenal and all that stuff, and you're like, I bet the shockwaves went throughout this congregation and said, man, I ain't got 2 hours. I don't even know when I'm going to eat and take a shower. I mean, I look at some of y'all's lives, and I can sympathize with you because I've been there and done that, but it's a little bit humorous. Me and Lori chuckled just a little bit. No offense. We were talking the other day, and we were talking about you guys, James, and came in, and I was like, man, they're just stretched so thin right now. You know, there it got, juggling. Who's going to take care of who and all of that, and you're outnumbered, so you have to bring Kathy into the mix to help out on everything. And I'm going to go to track, and I'm going to go to tennis, and I'm going to go to baseball. And then somewhere in between, we just hope somebody can help fill up the slack and all of that stuff and everything, you know. And I empathize with you, but I chuckle a little bit too. You know, I'm like, yeah, welcome to raising teenagers in our busy, busy society. In that, what does it turn into? Survival mode. This past week, you almost felt like we're just going to survive this week, right? You know? It's almost like Thursday afternoon was like at least I don't have to work tomorrow and Saturday. It turns into survival mode. What is different about that in our spiritual lives? What gets shoved out? What gets shoved out? I could probably come in from a natural standpoint and say, did you and Cammie have an awesome week of intimacy this week? I'm not talking about physical intimacy. I'm just talking about where y'all sit down and have a cup of coffee together and watch the sunset and say, man, this is awesome, and look into her eyes and be like, I love you so much, baby. You're the, you know, that probably didn't happen this week, did it? You would like for it to happen. It's what vacation's all about and date night's all about, right? Is there any difference in that and what happens in our spiritual life? I'm in survival mode, and God, I'd love to hang out with you. I just ain't got time right now. I got 8 million things to do. And what we do is we fail to come in and build an elevated specific place that is designed for a specific purpose. If I come in and I have got, Jeremy texted me yesterday. He said, hey man, you got a grain drill? I said, nah, I ain't got one. I rent one. You know why I don't have a grain drill? Because I use it about once a year. Because it is job specific. It really wouldn't make sense for me to come in and spend $12,000 and buy a grain drill to do 20 acres a year when I can rent one for $12 an acre and spend $200-something. It just don't make sense, does it? And because it is purpose-specific, I say, I can't use it. You know what I do have? I got 2 tractors. If he called me up and said, man, my tractor's tore up, can I borrow one of your tractors? I've been like, come get it. The key's in it, brother. Use it however you need to. Because it's multifunctional. I am way more apt to buy something I deem as multifunctional. But if it is purpose specific, then somehow I just can't seem to make the investment. And God said, if you want to come in and in an elevated place with me, if you want to come into a place that is superior in what you're living right now, then start building a place that is purpose specific. And I'm not talking I'm out there with hammers and nails. I'm talking about building something in my life. I'm talking about taking something in my life and saying, God, this is yours and nothing else gets in. This is yours, nothing else gets in. This is yours, nothing else infringes on that. I don't care how bad it wants to press in, it's off limits. And he said, when you start carving that out and you start creating that and get out of a multifunctional junk room mentality, then you're going to come to places where you're going to see heaven open up. I think I could go through the room, and if we did an honesty test, I could ask probably every person in here, and I could say, which does yours more resemble? And you know what would be? It would be my office more than the tree forts that I'm building. Y'all notice I call them tree forts and not playhouses. They're purpose specific. Y'all come over and eat dinner with us. Guess where we're not eating dinner? We ain't going to climb the rope swing and sit up there at the table and be like, this is cool. We're not. Because it's purpose specific. How many areas does God have in your life, Brett House, right now that are purpose specific? And how many of them look like my office? That's an indictment on me. But God said, this is the process that I've got you in right now. Is I'm bringing you into a place, and we are in building mode. And we are in building mode right now as an individual, where we come in and you say, all right, God, I am carving out some places, and I'm building some places, and they're elevated, and they're preferred. They're not a little old corridor off of a wall that's got a little tent around it where you can get there in a little bit of privacy, but it's a preferred place and it's an elevated place and it's a place where I can meet you and I will meet you and I'm going to abide there and I'm going to dwell there. And God's got me in building mode right now in my life and saying, this is what I want you, this is the framework that I want you to start building on this. I don't know what all it's going to look like, but I want to say something. God's got a vision and God's got a plan for it. And just like every other building project, you know what it does? It grows the deeper you get into it. Because Lori started with a vision on what we're doing out back. It was hers. She said, I think we ought to do this and this and this. And I was kind of like, okay. Now that I catch the vision and see the vision and all that, you know what I'm saying? Hey, we can do this and we can do that and we can do this and this is really cool. And now she's starting to look at stuff and she said, y'all can make this at KST and y'all can be in this. I'm like, really, I ain't got time to be doing no design building and all that. And Rhett sure as heck don't want to, you know, program a CNC bender to do all this curvy cool stuff because you and Sidney Hannah thought it looked good. But when then you get into a place, of being excited and passionate about a purpose design something. Some of you women will do it on your kitchen. If I came in and said, Jamie, let's remodel your kitchen, and you show me everything on Pinterest that you're dreaming about a dream kitchen, and I said, there ain't no budget on this, honey, let's knock it out of the ballpark. You go crazy with thoughts and ideas. You say, I can do this, and I can cook this, and I can do this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And that's the way God wants us to look and dream about our life with Him, and about our intimacy with Him, and about our relationship with Him. And He wants to reveal heaven to us. You know why? Because we're beloved. You know what beloved does? Beloved desires to reveal heart. Beloved desires to reveal vision. Beloved desires to reveal dreams. He wants to show us heaven. He's just not going to take something that precious and unload it in a junk room. He wants to show me a superior way. He wants to come in and whisper in my ear, this time next year you're going to have a child on your lap. He wants to blow my mind. But He's not going to do it if all I've got carved out is up. A while ago when I told the worship team, y'all pay attention because this is what you guys are doing right now. This is exactly what you're doing right now. You're not just coming in and saying, you know what, we're going to show up an hour and a half before church and we're going to run through three songs and all of that stuff and get up there and we're going to try to be excellent and do good and all that stuff. Y'all are coming in now. The worship session that you guys had last Sunday, it was last Sunday night, wasn't it? Last Sunday night felt so right. And it was really technical. Me and Lori came in and we just sat and all of that stuff. I wanted to just lay on the floor and worship my brains out, but it was real technical and I just couldn't ever get in that place. But it felt right. Because you know what it was? It was a building thing. You know what the playground looked like a week ago? Some 2x8s nailed between some pine trees, and you walk out there and you wouldn't say, Shane, if you came over, you'd say, what the heck is that? But you come next week and you'll be like, whew, cool, I see it now. This is what you're doing right now, worship team. is you're coming in and you're saying, we're building something that is elevated and it is superior and it is higher. And it's set aside and we're saying, God, this is yours. And you know where it's going to carry us to? You know where it's going to carry us to? It's going to carry us into true worship. Because we dabble in it, we're coming in and out of it and all of that stuff, and it's good, and I love the Word, but we're barely scratching the surface where God wants us to go. We'll get to where we hit it, and we hear His voice so clear that we roll with it. You know where we missed it this morning? And worship was good this morning. I love worship this morning. But you know what would have been an elevated place? When we came out of the side room, I think when we came out of the side room, y'all practiced, He came first, right? Isn't that what y'all did when we came out of the side room? We hit it when we came out of there. We hit a moment in that when you transitioned into the, you know, flipped into the next one and all that stuff. We hit it for a moment, and I felt it in the side room. And I was sitting there saying, whoa, that's it. And then we stopped because we had two other songs we had to practice. When we get into this elevated place and this carved out spot with God, this designed purpose place with God, you know what will happen? We'll come in and when we hit it, we'll run with it and we won't ever come out of it. And y'all will walk in and you'll be like, oh my gosh, what did I miss? That's what Jamie White told me Sunday night. We were sitting right over here and we were talking during the worship session. See, and we were talking about how good last Sunday morning was. We were like, woo, that was good. And the ministry that took place and all. Your wife got ministered to last night. A lot of people got ministered to big time last Sunday morning. And we were talking. And Jamie said, man, I walked in about 5 minutes late and I felt like I'd missed a bunch. She said, it just kind of took off, didn't it? And I said, yes. We want to get to the place where when we hear Him correctly and we see Him correctly, we feel Him correctly, and it does take off. You come in 10 minutes early and you're like, man, I missed it. And we're like, just jump in on the wave. Because this thing curls. It's curled over here, but it's still running down the beach line. You didn't have a problem jumping in once you got here. I think it's cool you said, I was 5 minutes late and I felt like I missed something. Yeah. I'm going to teach you to get here early. I ain't picking on Jamie. I'll teach you to get here early. When we get into that place, but I want to ask you a simple question this morning, and the word for us, I believe today, Andrew, is what does your life look like? Does it look like the office that I described to you, or does it look like something that is purpose specific? What does it look like to you? I can walk up and I can look at a grain drill, and you know what I say? Man's built for one thing. Built for one thing. That's all it does. And I want more of my life to be about one thing. Does that mean that I don't work and I don't take care of it? No, it doesn't mean any of that stuff. I do that stuff. I function in life. But I've got this holy place with Him. And it's so supernatural, and it's so rare, and it's so specific that nothing else can collect there. Nothing else can collect there. That's what I want to challenge you to do. It's what God wants to draw you into a place that is so special, nothing else can collect there. Nothing else can collect there. If I really get rolling in this, in where God wants to take me to, it'll be places that she can't even collect there with me. It'll be so intense and so personal and so specific between Sid and God, and we're going to have a flag that's flying, His banner over me. She can't even collect there. And that's no offense to her and no offense to me that she has that place. Because that enhances us. You see what I'm saying? But without that, I'm frustrated. You know probably the most frustrating place in my house? Where would you guess? My office. I don't fuss about much around the house, and a lot of it's my own doing, but Lord, here's more fussing out of that. I'm like, who put this junk in? Right? It's a frustrating place because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. The Shunammite woman made a place, and it was for one thing. It was to host the presence of God. And when things went south, it was a place she could run to. When things go south, it's the first place she ran to. And the banner over that place is beloved status. Beloved status. So I want us to stand to our feet and worship team. If y'all come up.